date, about 1963. The place was billboard charts across America. I'm not sure if anybody knows this artist, but his name is Jimmy Soul. Anybody know Jimmy Soul? I didn't think so, but he made the number one spot on the charts in 1963 with a song called If You Want to Be Happy. Anybody know that song? Maybe I am the only person that knows this song. This song is as was quite often done in those days, they did story slash advice songs that were popular in the 50s and 60s. They kind of had a little bit of humor to them. And this particular song, If You Want to Be Happy, is one of those songs. And it may offer advice, but in my opinion, in no way, shape, or form is correct in any way. The lyrics talk about if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. So from my personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you. Anybody know this song now? Oh, thank you. There's one other person that knows this song. My wife knows this song. Of course she knows this song because I occasionally play it. But this song is just filled, as the song goes, it talks about, it attempts to claim that if you marry a pretty girl, she is just simply pretty and will actually outshine you and be your downfall. So if you actually want to be happy for the rest of your life, make an ugly girl your wife because she can cook good food for you and she will give you peace of mind. Like I said, this is horrible advice. I, for one, did not follow this advice. But I have to ask the question, shouldn't a husband be just a little bit crazy for his wife and vice versa? There's one other person that I know, at least actually two people in the Bible, who really did not follow this advice. And today, as we continue our study in Genesis, we know that one of those people is one of our main characters, and his name is Isaac. Do you remember when when Abraham's servant went to go find a wife for Isaac, and he came across this really beautiful woman? And her name was Rebecca. And the scripture mentions multiple times about how beautiful she is. And he brought her back, and Isaac and Rebecca were married, and they were happy. However, they struggled. They struggled in their happiness because, well, they couldn't have children for 20 years. But finally, they did have children, and those two children were MMA fighters in her belly as they beat up on each other. And then as they grew as boys and young men, they continued to not do well with one another. But the scripture keeps talking about how incredibly beautiful Rebecca is. And so Isaac, he made a pretty woman his wife. And if you recall, Abraham did that as well. If you can remember, Abraham's wife Sarah was also known to be very beautiful. And in Abraham's life, he ran into a problem. As he journeyed around, he felt that my wife is so beautiful, I can't admit she's my wife. She has to be my sister. How many times did he do that? Was it once? Twice. Twice he said, no, she's not my wife, she's my sister. And how many times did someone else attempt to marry her? Twice. like father, like son. Let's read our passage for today. Now, there was a famine in the land, besides the earlier famine of Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. And the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your descendants, I will give these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make you, your descendants, as numerous as the stars of the sky, and will give them all these lands. And though your offspring, all the nations of the earth, will be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements, my commands, my decrees, and my laws. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. And when the men of that place asked him about his wife, he said, she is my sister. Because he was afraid to say, she is my wife. He thought the men of this place might kill me on account of Rebecca because she is beautiful. When Isaac had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked down from a window and saw Isaac caressing his wife, Rebecca. And so Abimelech summoned Isaac and said, she is really your wife. Why did you say she is my sister? And Isaac answered him, because I thought I might lose my life on account of her. And Abimelech said, what is this that you have done to us? One of the men might well have slept with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us. So Abimelech gave orders to all the people, anyone who molests this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Well, as the saying goes, as father like son. And as this chapter begins, there are some land issues, specifically famine. But the text wants us to remember that this is not the first time that famine has happened. There was a famine in the land, besides the earlier famine of Abraham's time. And so Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. It's deliberately casting Isaac in the image of his father to foreshadow the events to come. Both men experience a famine that led them to migrate from where they were to somewhere else. It reminds us of the conflict and powerful foreign king regarding their wives. The encounter that they have with them. And both enter into a treaty with the Philistines, whose king bears the same name, Abimelech. Famines, they can happen and they do happen all of the time. They can happen anywhere, all over the world. Abraham had experienced a famine, but that famine was over 100 years before. And when he had experienced that first famine, when he lived in this area of Canaan, he learned, we learned about that way back in Genesis chapter 12. It was one of his first and worst failures that Abraham decided to find food by traveling to actually Egypt that time. But almost lost far more than he ever would have gained, because he lied, saying that Sarah wasn't his wife, but his sister. And the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt at that time, promptly took her into his household. And it was only by God's intervention that Abraham got Sarah back. And they were actually escorted out of Egypt to return to Canaan. And then he does it again in Genesis chapter 20, which is roughly 80 years ago. 80 years have passed. And here we are with the similar results. Abraham ran into problems twice by calling his wife his sister. Now, had Abraham told Isaac these stories as if they were, guess what, son? Remember, I got to tell you this story about this one time I went to Egypt and pretended that your mother was actually my sister. I can't fathom that was something that was told around the dinner table. Unless it was told as a warning, don't do this. Maybe he had heard about it through the servants, about this dodgy way to stay alive. But now another famine has come to Canaan. But this time Isaac was involved, and Isaac went no further than the land of the Philistines. He traveled from where he was a grand total of 20 miles towards the Philistines. And there he apparently received permission from King Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, to stay in that region. And once again, like his father, Isaac has a conversation with God. And Abraham and Isaac did a lot of this. But Isaac has this conversation, and the Lord appeared to Isaac, and he gives him all of these wonderful things. Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. We've read through that, and we see all of this. And I'm going to bless you like I've blessed your father Abraham. And verse 4 says, I will make your descendants as numerous as the sand on or the stars of the sky. That's a lot. I will bless them. And Abraham obeyed me. He obeyed all and kept my requirements, my commandments, my decrees, my laws. And so Isaac stayed in Gerar. He stayed put. He listened and he obeyed God. So, no problems up to this point. Isaac has received a blessing from the Lord and confirmation that he was in the right place for this period of time. And it's significant for us to understand that the blessing that was given to his father is the promises of land, of descendants, is now given to Isaac as well. It is confirmed in Isaac, you are my chosen person. Your descendants, this land, it will all be yours, and your descendants will be so numerous. You will be a great nation. And all of the blessings that God promised Abraham are given to Isaac. You just need to do one thing. Stay put. But it also seems that he was at peace with the rulers of the land that he was dwelling with in with the Philistines. Abraham had lived in peace with another Abimelech years before. And it's likely that their story or history was known in the land of the Philistines. Now, the name Abimelech, I like names and I like meanings of names, but this name, Abimelech, goodness gracious, this is stupid. I know it's not right to say scripture is stupid, but I mean, the name Abimelech means my father was king. Hi, I'm king. King Abimelech, my father was king. It's just come on. Anyways, Abimelech. Abimelech, this cannot possibly be the same. I mean, it's possible it's the same Abimelech, but Abimelech is actually kind of like a name that it's a hereditary name, which means that when the son becomes king, he now is called Abimelech. So is this Abimelech the second, the third, the fourth? We really don't know. But it's King Abimelech of the Philistines. So it might be the son of Abimelech that Abraham encountered. It may be the grandson. It may be even the great-great-grandson, because over 80 years have transpired since Abraham and Abimelech had their encounter. And so it's very unlikely to be the exact same king. And if it is the same king that Abraham said, no, that's my sister, this guy is really dumb. Because he believes the same line from Isaac. But regardless, Abimelech was the king. And he was living at peace with Isaac and all of his household in the land. That is until something awfully, awfully familiar took place. Isaac lies about his wife. And so Isaac stayed in Gerar, and when the men of that place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister." Why? Because he's afraid. He's afraid to say, "She's my wife." He thought these men of this place might kill me on account of Rebekah because she is beautiful. This is so familiar because Abraham had done it, the exact same thing for the exact same reason. I really got to wonder, what's wrong with this family? I don't want to dwell on this too much because we talked about it not once but twice already, about lying about your wife being your sister and being a friend. Like, is he just so... She is so out of my league. I married up like 6 levels too far. That he is so... I can't believe she would have ever married me. She's been with you for over 20 years at this point, man. She has your children. It took 20 years to have those kids, and your kids are at least 20 years of age at this point, and you've been married for 40 years and you still can't admit it. And the text doesn't say how long Isaac had dwelt in Gerar. But it probably didn't take long for the men of that place to notice his wife because the scriptures keep talking about how beautiful she is. And at this point, she's got to be at least 60 years of age. Remember, they lived a lot longer back then. But she's 60, which is the new 30 or the old 30, or I don't know what to say. But she is... I keep saying beautiful, but I can't help but wonder if it was a modern translation, this woman is a hottie. She is just gorgeous, right? But Isaac, however, he seemed to have this same kind of insecurity about his, just like his father did, just like his dad. And so he comes up with this same line, she is my... I don't really understand how this is supposed to work. I've pondered this and I've preached it a couple times, and this is just horrible. We have to remember the Old Testament isn't telling us that we should do this. This is not a prescription for us to follow. This is a description for us to look at and go, dude, what are you doing? He lied. He was filled with an irrational fear and caused him to lie. And for some reason, Rebecca goes along with this. And the irony, be a good wife. Agree with your husband that you're his sister, not his wife. But to be a good wife, you have to pretend not to be my wife. There's no logic here. But fear makes people do strange things, or things that they might not do otherwise. And if nothing else, Isaac might surely have heard about Abraham's two different encounters, lying about Sarah, almost losing her twice. It certainly caused hurt. It caused suffering. But in the end, Abraham actually ended up getting richer. He was kicked out of Egypt with a whole bunch of bounty. And Abimelech ended up giving him a safe place to live and protection, along with livestock and money. Look it up, Genesis 12 and 20. It's just... the logic of those days makes no sense to me. Maybe he was hoping for some result like this. I don't know. But there were consequences, but the bottom line is both men, they're liars. And why Isaac thought the same to lie, and why he came up with the exact same lie, even at a different time with different people, why he would do this is baffling. It's beyond anything that we could think of. But how did the people, especially the king, find out that Isaac and Rebecca, they were not siblings? The word almost describes it humorously. When Isaac had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked down from a window one day and saw Isaac caressing his wife, Rebecca. Wow. Either Isaac is really not good at acting like Rebecca, or he forgot that Rebecca was his sister because, well, she wasn't. But when we look at a couple different versions, the King James Version says that they were sporting. they were sporting. The NIV says that he was caressing. The Dave's Modern Version says that they were playing around. Wink, wink. I don't really understand how you think this is appropriate with your sister there, Isaac. And why you're doing it in public. There's some young men here I got to talk to for a second. PDA is what we're talking about, public displays of affection. Thankfully, you don't have a sister, so don't ever do that. For those, PDA... he got caught because he's too busy getting his hands all over his wife. For those of us who are married, hold your wife's hand. Husbands, reach out, do it right now. Hold your wife's hand. Sorry, Jess, can't do it. Those are okay. Put your arm around her, hug her. Be okay with that. You're married, you love one another, that's okay, but if that's your sister, that's not okay. I think I've said enough on that one. And the king, well, he wasn't blind, and he also wasn't stupid. And he saw what was going on, and he calls him in. So Abimelech summoned Isaac, and he says, "She is really your wife. Go ahead, deny it. I dare you. Why did you say she is my sister?" And then he gives him all this nonsense. I thought I might lose my life on account of her. And Abimelech says, "What is this that you have done to us? What would have happened if someone had taken your wife and slept with her? The guilt you would have brought upon us is horrible." And so Abimelech gives these orders to all of the people. Anyone who touches these guys, you will surely die. When confronted with the truth, Isaac seems to have stumbled for words, saying, because I thought I might lose my own life. I was worried about me. If they knew that she was my wife, they might kill me. Once again, I don't understand. I don't understand how you think, like, someone's going to, why wouldn't they just take her? If she was that beautiful, if she was that gorgeous, and she's just your sister, why not start dating her, get engaged, get married, do it? Why would they walk up to him and go, I'm going to kill you? Are the people of that day really that bad? Did he have so little trust in the people around him? Or was he just so focused upon me? I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to die. This was the same fear that his father had. This is the same lie that his father had. I think he was just ashamed that he had been caught in the act. So to speak and to too embarrassed to explain further. And Abimelech wasn't finished. He pressed Isaac a little harder, it seems, and he asked a second and follow-up question. "What is this that you have done to us? One of our people might have slept with your wife, and you would have brought guiltiness upon us." And Abimelech is absolutely right. Isaac had left the people in this local area, or he let them fall into temptation. He actually opened up the door and invited that temptation by saying, "Yeah, she's just my sister. She's available." Isaac really stumbled on this one, just like Abraham did. They don't start off well. But Abimelech promptly gives the people this strong warning. "Don't touch this man or his wife, or you will die." There was no discussion about a revelation from God. There was no discussion that Abimelech heard from God or knew anything about that. But even in the pagan cultures, there seems to be a respect for marriage and a penalty for those who violated that relationship. And that seems to be part of this episode. And nothing more is mentioned about anybody trying to take Rebecca away. There's no mention of anybody actually trying to take advantage of her before. Abimelech, he knew what to do. The "she is my sister" lie didn't work for Isaac. It didn't work for his father. But Isaac was forced to listen to the king. This pagan king forced Isaac to actually listen. But that lesson in listening seems to have paid off, because we need to read the next few verses. Isaac planted a crop in that land, and the same year reaped a hundredfold, because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich, and wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So all the wells of his father's servants that had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. Isaac listened to the king. "She's not your sister. Don't lie about it. Admit it." And he listened, and he started doing that. But he also listened to God. Do you remember how the chapter started? And God spoke to Isaac and said, "Hey, stay where you are, and I will bless you." And so he listened to the king, and he began to listen to God, and he began to be obedient to God. And in the midst of this famine, Isaac plants his crops, and his harvest is a hundredfold. And as a result, he becomes wealthy. In fact, the Philistines become very envious of all of the stuff that he has. And for some reason, in the middle of this famine, which is probably caused by drought, they decide to do something absolutely ridiculous. The Philistines start filling the wells with dirt. You guys understand how crazy this is? The Philistines filled the wells with dirt. This is a really dirty play on their part. Really dirty. Taking dirt, filling up the wells. Oh well, they thought. We don't need them. You're in a drought. You're in a famine. Why are you getting rid of all the water? I mean, they could be dug out, but they filled them with earth. God wanted to bless Isaac. And in the midst of this famine, he allows his crops to grow a hundredfold and become wealthy. Is it possible that he allowed that crops to be a hundredfold so that Isaac could bless the entire region with food? And yet the Philistines decide, "We don't like what's going on here. We're going to fill his wells with dirt." They continued to get bigger and stronger and more powerful. And then Abimelech said to Isaac, "Move away from us. You have become too powerful for us." So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Now, this word "powerful" can also be translated as numerous and influential. And I think that in this case, it's simply a numbers game. Isaac had too much for the local population to handle. And this term only occurs twice more in the Pentateuch. referring to the frightening increase of Hebrew children in Egypt. They became too powerful. They became too much. They just had babies like crazy. And they grew at an exponential rate. We might say that his household grew in an alarming rate, so that the king became concerned and asked him to create some distance with the town. So Isaac moves his camp to the Valley of Gerar, about 5 kilometers away. We're going to talk more about this next week, but as Isaac begins to stumble, and he began stumbling greatly, he stumbled. He messed up in a huge way. But he also learned to listen to the king, who gave him good advice. And he also listened and obeyed God. And when King Abimelech asked him to move, he did it so willingly and without complaint. He knew that one day all of this land is going to be mine anyways, because God told me that. I just need to wait on God. And when we rely upon God as our source and our strength, as our Lord and God, there's an amazing peace that comes from that. And Isaac had that sense of peace when asked to leave. He knew that as he was obedient to God, God was there taking care of him. Our closing song for today has these words: I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, because I know there's a peace within us, or within your presence. I speak Jesus. Today, I want to speak Jesus over you. Yeah, you can come, team. It's powerful words. I know that where there is peace, that there can be a peace within our lives if we stand in the presence of God, if we obey his calling upon our lives. So I encourage you today, follow the words of Christ. Be where God wants you to be and do what he's asking you to do. If you will, stand and sing along with us.